It's great to see each and every one here this morning. It's great to have this opportunity to worship God together. It is a strange time that we're going through. I guess if you look at life from the time that we're born till the time that we die, life might be compared to a winding stream, like a float trip down an unfamiliar river. Around each bend there is something new and something maybe exciting, maybe something challenging that we have to face. And so we ask the question, how do we successfully navigate the waters of life? Since we don't have any sort of future fortune-telling kind of futuristic kind of premonitions about the future, I think it's important then to think about some of these things. There are things we cannot know about and will not know about, but there are certain basic principles that we can be aware of about the different phases that we have in life. Psychologists tell us there are some 11 different stages of life. The law of Moses in Leviticus tells us about 5 stages or ages of life. And this morning we're going to only talk about 3 of them. So aren't you thankful for that? We're just going to be talking about 3 stages of life. And we sort of made them a little bit more simplistic for the sake of giving us the feel that we're actually going on a journey, that life is a journey from one point to another and not just a circular type of emotion that we sometimes talk about. We're going to talk about childhood, youth, and old age. Now, I know that we don't like to think, per se, that we're the younger people think that they want to be young adults, and the older people like to think that they're middle-aged, you know. So we want to think about this as sort of the realization is that all of these ages, whether you have 11 or 5 or 3, they all kind of blend together, kind of like the changing of the seasons. Sometimes in the winter you'll have a warm day. Sometimes in the spring you'll have a cold day. It doesn't mean that the season's different. It just means that they kind of blend together. And so we'll talk about those 3 stages. And as we talk about those, it'll become evident that there are certain challenges faced in different stages of life. And if we know those ahead of time, we can make preparation for them. That's all we're trying to say, and it's all we're trying to do in our lesson this morning, is to get ready for those kinds of changes and challenges that we may face in the future. For example, if you need a car for transportation to and from work or school or something like that, and you're driving a vehicle now, you know that someday that vehicle will wear out, right? And so you might begin thinking about, what am I going to do when that car gets too old to drive anymore? It's not going to last forever. So you make those changes. Maybe you save some money or make some plans to do what you need to do to continue to have transportation. And the same thing is true in reference to your children. Your little child might be in preschool. They might be in first or second grade. You know that someday they're going to be in middle school or high school, and someday they're going to move on to higher education or some kind of vocational training, or maybe just enter into the job force, and you need to be ready for that and help them to get ready for that. So all of these things that we're talking about are things that require prayer, a making of decisions, and ultimately trusting in God that He will work things out for His good. What I want to talk about this morning is 3 things that we need to remember, keep in mind, as we go through the changing stages of life and as we float down that river, so to speak, and come across something that's a challenge or something that's unexpected. We need to remember our strength, remember our duty, and remember our God. Those 3 things: strength, duty, and God. Now let's talk about those in our lesson this morning. The first thing, remember our strength. Some people talk about this, I think probably in the business world, in psychology, and in any kind of self-help book, you might find something somewhere that says, build on your strengths rather than just focusing on your weaknesses. Now, we need to deal with our weaknesses and sometimes try to make them a little bit better, but we want to focus on our strengths so we can keep positive and productive in our lives. So build on your strengths. So let me ask you this. What is the strength of childhood? The strength of childhood is humility. That's the strength of childhood. when Jesus was talking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 18, and he was talking to them about what it had been that they were so concerned about and arguing about. Of course, you know that it was, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They like to talk about that. And Jesus took a child and set that child in front of them, and Matthew chapter 18 said, unless you are converted and become like children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So you have the child and you have the humility, both in the same passage there. Children don't care about who's the greatest. All they're interested in is serving and doing and being productive. And children are great examples of service and praise to God. In Philippians 2, verse 22, when the Apostle Paul was commending Timothy, who was his student, the one he was training, he commended him and spoke of the fact that in the furtherance of the gospel, he was like a child serving his father. That speaks volumes about Timothy's humility. If he wasn't humble, he wouldn't have been able to serve. But his humility, his childlike humility, is what Paul commended. Matthew chapter 21, in the second cleansing of the temple, this occurred after the great parade where Jesus had the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and he came to the temple and cleared it again, overturned the tables and so forth. And at that time, the children were singing praise to Christ. They were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. And you know, the scribes and the chief priests didn't much care for that because they didn't believe that Jesus fit that title. And so they said, keep him from doing this. But you'll notice that the children were prone to give praise. The children are given to serve. And those two childlike qualities are the kind of childlike qualities that become the strength of childhood. The strength of childhood is humility. Now, what is the strength of youth? The strength of youth is vitality. The glory of the young men is their strength, Proverbs 20, verse 29. It's that energy and that strength and that vitality that we need to harvest and incorporate into the church so that we can get more things done. So that's a very important thing to the church. And whereas the strength of children is humility, we would then look at what is the strength of youth. It's their ability to get things done. It's their vitality. What is the strength of old age? Well, the strength of old age is wisdom. And again, we go to the Bible to find this. And in Leviticus 19, verse 32, God says, rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. And then, of course, in Job 12, verse 12, Job says, wisdom is with aged men, and with long life is understanding. You and I both know that these are not automatic qualities. There are some old fools, just as there are some young fools. And so wisdom is often the result of life experience. Not always, but it often is. So there you have your strength. You need to remember your strength. In childhood, it's humility. In youth, it's vitality. And in old age, it's wisdom. Now, here's an interesting slant that we want to take from here for our second point, and that is to keep in mind that we need to remember our duty. Because with each strength, there's a corresponding duty to keep in mind. As we said, the strength of childhood is humility. The duty of a child is to learn. See how humility relates to learning, or you might say listening. And we're told that, again, by psychologists, that 75% of all that you will ever learn, you learn before the age of 5. So it's a time of learning physically. We understand this because children often are like sponges. And you say, how did they remember that? It's just like everything that goes in just kind of stays in there. Humility is a strength of childhood. And often is the case that this is the ideal environment for learning. When you're no longer humble, can you learn anything? It becomes very difficult. Then it's kind of being turned over to the school of hard knocks. You know, you need to be humble and ready to listen. And humility is the environment for learning, and then also the foundation for obedience. Children, Paul said, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6 and verse number 4. Children are always learning. Children don't ever turn it off. It'd be nice to say, well, we're going to learn from 9 o'clock in the morning till 12 o'clock at lunch. After that, don't learn anything. But they don't do it that way. They learn all the time. They learn by our example. They learn by how we incorporate the Word of God into our lives. When we put them and expose them to God's Word, they're learning it. When we're at Bible class or worship, they're learning. Even if you think, well, that little child's too young to understand anything the preacher's saying, you might be surprised. That little sponge is soaking it in ways that we can't hardly even imagine. So don't waste the opportunities of childhood. Use them as a learning experience. When Paul spoke to Timothy and reminded him of his past in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he reminded him to keep in mind where you have learned these things. And then he said that from childhood, you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. From childhood, from his mother and his grandmother, he had begun to learn these things. If we expect our children to grow up and to have a spiritual inclination, a desire for God and his kingdom, the church, if we expect that to happen, there has to be something along the way by way of teaching God's word, by following an example, by surrounding them as they are sponging it up, to soak them up with the good things of God and his word. To expect those spiritual inclinations without ever exposing them to God's word, it's like if it was a farmer and he's expecting to reap a great harvest without ever sowing any seed. It just doesn't happen that way. So we need to use the period of childhood to expose our children to God's word, to teach them the basic principles, and more importantly, to show them what it's like to follow Jesus. You might remember Christ himself was a child. Second person of the Godhead became flesh, and he wasn't instantly full grown physically or in any other way. He had to grow up into a man. And as you look at Jesus in his early years, it says in Luke chapter 2, the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He was growing as a child, but it calls him a child. Jesus went through that stage in life. In fact, if there are 11 stages, except for the ones that have to do beyond his age in which he was on the earth, all those stages of Jesus that are available, Jesus experienced, because the Bible says he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. At age 12, he came to Jerusalem. You might remember this again in Luke chapter 2. And the Bible specifically mentions that his parents were there. It was their custom to be there every year at the Passover. It also says it was their custom to be there the full number of days. They didn't come and just have their attendance card checked and then go back home. They stayed for the whole thing. That's what they did. And Jesus grew up in that environment. And when he was in the temple talking to the religious leaders of the day, and they were amazed at his understanding, the question then comes to mind, how did he get that understanding? Well, he had godly parents, for one. Mary and Joseph, his godly parents, his godly mother, and his godly earthly father, had been teaching him. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, after he returns home with them, it said he kept increasing in wisdom. He kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He had a normal progression of childhood as he grew up to be a man. He was growing all the way that you would expect us to have our children grow, intellectually, physically, socially, and most importantly, spiritually. Childhood is a time for learning. Now, the strength of childhood is humility, and that makes that possible. Now, the strength of youth is vitality, and the corresponding duty is obedience to God. Youth is a time when people set their direction. They begin to focus on, where do I want to get in life? And so the writer Solomon in Ecclesiastes 12 says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. What he's saying, remember God now in your youth. Set the course of your direction. David prayed this prayer in Psalm 119 and verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. So the foundation is being built as a child. And then you reach the youth and it's time to set your course. And you begin following God and you begin obeying his precepts and his commandments. What's interesting is this, that wisdom is not exclusive to the older people. Younger people can be wise as well. In fact, whenever you apply God's word to your heart, and that can begin as children, you grow in wisdom, because wisdom is the application of knowledge. And so as you begin applying God's word, you become wise. David, in fact, said in Psalm 119, verse 99, he said, I have more insight than all my teachers. Why? For your testimonies are my meditation, and I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. If you want to be wise, the place that you start is with God's word and applying it to your life. Youth is a time to get involved. We sometimes say that the young people are the church of tomorrow. But actually, youth are the church of today. Now, I'm not talking about preschool, kindergartners. I'm talking about youth in a broader sense, those who have reached the point of being able to make decisions and set priorities and set directions in life. And they should not be told or implied in any way that you're not a part of the church because you're just 15 or 16 or 20 or whatever it is. You are a part of the church now, and we need your vitality and your energy in God's church today. So the time for involvement is now. Think of all the examples in the Bible. Think about Jeremiah, who was called to be a prophet under very serious circumstances. And he said, Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am but a youth. And the Lord said to him, Do not say I am but a youth, because everywhere I send you will go, and all that I command you will speak. Jeremiah, no, you can't use that as an excuse. Timothy, likewise, it's very likely that Timothy was somewhat timid. 2 Timothy 1:7, one of the things that Paul said there was, God has not given us a spirit of timidity. But to Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Let no one look down upon your youthfulness, but rather in speech, in conduct, in love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. In other words, set your direction, get involved now, and you'll have wisdom beyond your years because you're taking God's word seriously and setting your direction. But let me say this. If you think youth are just teenagers, you're wrong. You may have to wait till you're my age to realize this, but no, youth is inclusive of more, and I can prove this biblically. You want to listen carefully to what I'm about to say. A lot of times youth does refer to children. Samuel, for example, was put into God's service in the house of the Lord by his mother Hannah when he was very, very young. But sometimes the Bible talks about young married couples as being youth. For example, Proverbs 5 and verse 18, Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. The wife of your youth. Well, how old were they when they got... Well, they might have got married earlier than we do, but in any case, they were married and they were part of the youth group, you know, part of the youth of that society. In Malachi 2, verse 14, the prophet gives a severe condemnation to some people, some of the men of Judah, because they were dealing treacherously with the wife of their youth. Again, the married here, young married, are part of the youth, according to that classification. Even those with small children might be classified as youth. Even if you have a minivan, you can still be part of the youth, if you think about it this way. In Psalm 127 and verse 3, Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. They're like arrows in the hand of the warrior. So what we're saying then is this. set your direction and get involved today. Today. So what happens a lot of times is that people get involved and they become Christians, and a lot of our young people have their minds on correctly, and they have their focus right, and they become children of God as teenagers and all of that. But sometimes we give the impression that you're a teenager now, and you need to be really involved in school activities and recreational things, and you need to be thinking about your future and get the best of possible grades and go to the best possible college and do this, and this. And all of that's good and fine, but if we leave the impression that you can leave off your spirituality and your devotion to God until you're older, we are making a colossal blunder. The time to serve God is now. And then you get into college and everything's going well and you're getting focused on your career and your studies, and I'll just wait till I get out of college. And pretty soon somebody says, well, I'm young now. I'm just getting started in my career. I'll wait until after I have a family and some children. Then I'll really get focused and involved in serving the Lord. But right now, I'm too young still. And then it goes on and on and on until finally you've reached the point that Solomon's talking about. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no desire in them. Even people that wait until they retire find out that retirement is too busy. It's just a matter of where your priorities are in life. You got to serve Him today. Think about people in the Bible like Joshua, who followed Moses from his youth. Elijah, who feared the Lord from his youth. Josiah, the king we read about in 2 Chronicles 34, who became king when he was 8 years old. That's pretty young. It said in the 8th year of his reign, later in the chapter, see, 8 and 8 is 16. He was 16 years old, and he set about making great reforms throughout the nation of Judah. At a young man, he set his mind on the right thing. We could go on and on. Talk about Joseph, talk about David, talk about Samuel, Timothy, Jeremiah, others that we've already mentioned. But the point is this: one of the greatest tragedies in life is to waste youth on selfish pursuit, thinking about what I want, what I need, where I want to go. This is good in the world's way of thinking. You got to look out for number one. But when you're a child of God and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that the question changes from what I want to what is best for the Lord and His kingdom. And what you will find, if you will answer that question, your life's going to be full. And you're going to have a future, an eternal blessing with God in heaven. So don't waste this life pursuing self. Pursue God. Jeremiah said, it is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. That's in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 27. So that's the strength of youth, their vitality. Now the strength of old age is wisdom. And the duty is teaching. We tend to think sometimes, I've heard people even express the idea, I'm at the age now where I can just sit back and let the young people handle it. There's a problem with that, especially if the young people have been saying, I'm too young, and I'm too busy, and I got too many children. And then when you get to the retirement years to say, well, I'll let the young people handle it. Well, they're not going to handle it because they've been trained in that philosophy of postponement. For all people of all ages, regardless of where you are, now is the acceptable time. Now is the time to serve God. And I think the Bible even says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But in old age, you can still be fruitful. Remember the psalmist said in Psalm 92, he used an illustration of a palm tree. We don't have any palm trees at our house, but I'm told that the palm tree can still bear fruit in old age. That's what the Bible says here in Psalm 92, verse 14. And you got to remember that though physical strength may diminish, that's only one kind of strength. There's inward strength, and there's outward strength. And the Bible says the outer man is decaying in 2 Corinthians, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. And so when you read passages like Isaiah 40, which talk about God giving strength to the weary and to the one who lacks might, he gives power. He says, though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. What kind of strength is he talking about here? The kind of strength that comes from a lifetime of devotion and faith toward God. David said this of God. He says, he satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. So in old age, there is still much to be done, an untapped resource that we can still work on. And one thing about older age is that it gives you perspective. If you look at the church, one designation of a shepherd is an elder. They call him an elder because there is some age connected to that term. Age gives you perspective. David said something about that in Psalm 37 and verse 25. He said, I have been young and now that I am old, and yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. It's just kind of a perspective thing that David had in mind. And David often spoke about the idea that he wanted to live strong until he could teach the new generation to believe in God. In Psalm 71 and verse 17, O God, he said, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. So don't get discouraged. Don't let the challenges of older age keep you from fulfilling your mission. Trust in God and use your wisdom to help those around you. Now, the last thing I want to mention, the last point I want to get to quickly. We need to build on our strength. There's a duty that corresponds with our strength. And then there's a third thing. Remember your God. Remember that God has a plan in your life. God has a plan for your life. And therefore, we should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Don't set your direction without God. Don't be like the man that James spoke of in James 4 who said, I'm going to go so-and-so. I'm going to go to this place and live for a year and make a living and all this and that. And just left God out of his plans. Keep God in your plans. Secondly, remember God's timing. Psalm 31 verse 15 says, our times are in his hands. Psalm 90, one of my favorites, in verse 10, as for the days of your life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for it is gone. It is soon gone, and we fly away. That's a description of life. But the part I like is verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Use your time wisely to serve God. Ecclesiastes 3 is a great chapter. A chapter talks about there's a time and place for everything. Appointed time for this and appointed time for that. And then it gets down to verse 9. He says, that he has made everything appropriate in its time. Now think about that for a moment. Young people, what do you want? You want to be adults. Older people, what do you want? You want to be young. And what you don't realize is that all of these characteristics apply to different ages. Everything, of course, has its own season and its own time. And then we need to remember, because of that, we need to remember God's judgment. In the end, we need to remember that God will judge us. Ecclesiastes 12 is good on this. Whether you're a child, whether you are in your youth, that's a broad spectrum, covers most of us here, or at your older age even. Think about all these categories. The one thing we need to remember is to fear God and keep his commandments. And then he says in the next verse, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. So the broad question we've asked then, how do you handle life's changes? Remember your strength, remember your duty, and remember your God. There'll be changes and there'll be challenges every step of the way. Some on the outside, things we can't control, some from within, but we need to handle these through faith in Christ. Uncharted waters. That's why we need Jesus to be the captain of our vessel. Put him in charge. Trust in the Lord, lean upon Him, and do not lean upon your own understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Give Him control. Set your direction. Get involved in whatever way you can right now. Don't let those moments pass by. Don't let those opportunities be wasted. Make a decision. This is it. I have a time that I am at right now. I have strength. I have a duty. I have a responsibility. God will help me to carry that out. If we can help you in any way, if we can pray with you or for you, or if you are ready to put the Lord on in baptism, we'd be glad to help you with that this morning. Whatever it might be, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing together.